My name's Adele Onyango, and welcome to another episode of Legally Clueless. No, seriously, I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Welcome to another Midweek Tease, and it's all about this protest thing. So my first ever protest was in 2007 going into 2008. This was the post-election violence period in Kenya. And I still remember my late mom saying that it wasn't right that the middle class watched those from lower economic backgrounds on the streets fighting for all of their collective rights. At this point, obviously, there was a lot of instability in the country. And I was in uni doing a journalism degree. And one of the units I was doing was that semester at that time was a photography unit. So I remember this one time taking this old camera that I had borrowed from the school, from the university, for me to do my project over the holidays. And I took it. And because I didn't live too far from an informal settlement in Nairobi, known as Kibera, I decided to go into Kibera with my camera to take pictures of the police brutality that was happening, just how they were standing up for the rights of the country. And I didn't even make it into Kibera because there was this police Land Cruiser that was driving around Langata, which is where I lived at the time. And they were, let me tell you, the censorship was real. If they saw you with a camera, you were going to get into the back of that van. And so I had to hide my camera in my top and just keep it walking. So I was just like going on a walk as the country's on fire. And after that, I remember telling my mom about that. And we kind of laughed off that experience. But we then decided we were going to go and protest together. Her driver drove us to town, which was like the meeting point for all of the protesters. And we were all meeting at this hotel called Hilton. It's smack in the middle of town. Because of all the instability and the protests, town was pretty empty. Nobody was going to work, etc. As soon as we get closer to the hotel, my mom turns back to me and she says, "You have your water?" I'm like, "Yes." "You have your face cloth?" "Yes," which were the two things she told me I'd need for tear gas. And she, before us going to town, had taught me how to roll back tear gas, well, particular tear gas, to the cops if they lodge it our way and if it's a particular color, like the can is a particular color. She had taught me all those things. So back to the car, she's like, "Okay, you have your phone?" "Yes." "You have Peter's number?" "Peter was the driver." I'm like, "Yes." She's like, "Well, every man for himself now." I'm like, "Hold up, this is not what I signed up for. We're in this together." Anyway, so we got out of the car and my mom is just like moving around. Like, she didn't come with any extra baggage. Like, I'm not even there. But I remember the cops, like, there was a showdown. The cops were coming closer to us as we were, hovering around this Hilton hotel. And my mom and these other guys are like yelling, like, "We've just come to town for tea. Why do you want to tear gas us? And we're just meeting in town for tea." And like, they lodged the tear gas, and the sound of the tear gas being lodged your way, or like shot your way, whatever, sounds like what you think a gunshot would sound like. Like, it's just such a loud sound. And in that process, I like drop my water bottle because everybody scatters. Drop my water bottle. I start running away. And then I remember, I was told, like, I need this water bottle with my face cloth for the tear gas when it begins to sting or irritate my eyes, blah, blah, blah. And so I run back for my water, and then I run away. Like, we run round the hotel. I'm trying to like locate my mom. It was such a hectic baptism by fire protest experience. But, we got home in one piece, and I'm very thankful that she took me for that, because it was such a lesson in you have to stand up loudly for what is right. And protesting is not being a nuisance. It is your right as a citizen, right? It's enshrined in the Constitution. And so that became kind of like it's such a core memory for me now that my mom's dead. But even more than just an experience that I had with her, it was such a learning moment for me. That was my first ever protest. In January this year, I joined tons of people in Kenya at the End Femicide protests in Nairobi. We had started the year with just like crazy numbers of femicide cases, and not enough people or perpetrators being brought to book. And that particular protest, I feel like it was very spiritual. It renewed my hope for my country because we were so many people who came out to stand up for women, you know? And even in the midst of the very peaceful protest, we managed to resist politicians trying to take advantage of the protest. I mean, we had the Nairobi women's rep come to the protest when it was beginning, try and speak, but she had been silent about the femicide cases. And so we're like, excuse me, where were you? And literally in the crowd, we were chanting, where were you? And then when we got to parliament, she came again, but this time with bouncers and was trying to do interviews. And I was just like, this is so cringe. What type of leaders are these do we have? And we managed to chase her a second time. That was a very spiritual protest. I really enjoyed it. And like my heart was so full when I left. I felt a renewed hope in my country. Obviously, across the last month or so, we are in the middle of a revolution in this country of ours. I'm very proud that we've woken up collectively. And so far, I think I've gone for about 5 protests. We're fixing this country. And we started off by fixing the proposed finance bill that was going to overtax us. Then we figured that a fish rots from the head down and there's so much wrong with the country. And now there's a push for new leadership across the board, you know, and just accountability when it comes to millions being looted and stolen across ministries. When it comes to budgeted corruption, my friends, that is a thing. Like, you look at the budgets for different counties in Kenya, and it's stupid. It's ridiculous. For example, Nairobi County, which, you know, once I get my energy back up, I'm going to be coming for. Because I was looking at the Nairobi County budgets for travel, and some of the conference they're going for, it's just stupidity. There was $8.9 million spent on a personal branding conference in Dubai. What the fuck is that? Like, why? You know? Why? I think in the budget, there was another conference. They didn't even describe it. It's just called a conference. And it's millions spent on it. And then you drive around Nairobi. There are no streetlights. There's more potholes than tarmac. No bins. And we're spending millions on a personal branding conference. Such a failure of a governor Nairobi has. Absolute failure. And even if you look at his reactions to the initial protests where people were killed in his county, he was silent and then does a press conference afterwards to say, oh, it's because he was by the beach at a retreat. How callous, absolutely callous. Like, these people who are in leadership positions have no leadership qualities whatsoever. But I'm going to get back to the county budgets. Let me tell you, that one for Nairobi, it pissed me off, but I was like, one thing at a time. Anyway, so we've been having weekly podcasts and some are specific to particular ministries, right? The first protest I went to was the very first one to reject the finance bill. It was a Tuesday and it was starting at about 11 a.m. as per the poster that went out. We were meant to all wear black. It was really presented as like a vigil. And so I was like, cool, I'm in. My friend has a store in town. I will not say her name because these cops are crazy. And we kind of like group there and then start going for the protests. So on this morning, and I was with her during the femicide protest as well. So it was like a replay of that whole situation. Anyway, I park my car outside Nairobi, take a bodaboda or motorcycle, my trusty bodaboda guy, into town. Because I'm late to meet my friends, I'm thinking maybe he can drop me at parliament. And then my friends could just meet me there for the vigil, right? And as we ride closer to parliament, I see all of these tanks, like the water cannon tank, police in like riot gear. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. What's happening here? I mean, first and foremost, I think it's pretty rational that everybody's against this finance bill. So like, what's happening? Anyway, I tell the Buddha guy, Peter, I'm just like, just keep going to the meeting point because like something's amiss. Meet my friends. We head out and we start walking on one of the main streets in town. And we are a huge group and we start chanting, Ruto must go. Ruto is our current president, unfortunately. Before we finish the second sentence, tear gas is lodged in our direction. And before they threw this tear gas, right, me and my friends are holding hands because we're like, okay, let's hold hands so we don't lose sight of each other. When the tear gas comes, hey, I don't even, everybody scatters in their own direction. I went in my own direction. Like, I never saw my friends again until the next Thursday. For the next protest, we went in different directions. I ran so much. And that was like a very scary protest because the cops were literally hunting us. And because we had a dress code, we were dressed in all black. It was very easy for them to figure out who we are. Anyway, kept running, made friends near Jamia Mosque. There's like stalls there, Jamia. I remember back in the day, we used to go shopping there. One shopkeeper who happens to be of Somali origin actually hid me and a couple of guys in his shop and then let us go out when the coast was clear. And the reason I mention his ethnicity is because we're often, by politicians, pushed to view each other as different and as this is the enemy. When push comes to shove, the enemy is this oppressive government and not the person who just happens to have a different surname from you. They actually help you out, you know? Anyway, keep running. I make friends with these two guys. We're friends with friends with friends. We keep running. Tear gas is thrown our way. We separate. Wherever you run to, you make new friends there. And in that process, I then met some friends at another space that I currently on the board of called Baraza Media Lab. Me and the team, like, we're running away from the tear gas. We go into a restaurant and it's just like hell. Wait, no, that was even the second day. This is not the day we went into the restaurant. We actually went into a stall selling clothes and we were trying to buy different clothes so we could cover up our black clothes. And guess what? Plainclothes policemen followed us and they walked in. They were like, hey, are you part of the demonstration? I'm like, no. I didn't clock that they were plainclothes cops until when we left the stall with my friend. They kept following us and making phone calls. And yeah, that first day was hell. They literally were hunting us and so many of us were arrested. The second protest saw a greater number of people turn up, which was wonderful because there was a lot of camaraderie. Just the numbers made it, we were just so much safer. Our goal then was to occupy Parliament and we got pretty close, pretty close. I remember being on Uhuru Highway because we were going to Parliament through that route. And the only thing that was keeping us back was that water cannon thing that has the itchy water that kind of like irritates your skin ridiculously. It kept coming out and pushing us back and pushing us back. And with these protests, because a lot of politicians were trying to sabotage it, you would have to leave town by like latest 5 p.m. because then they would commission goons to come and disrupt a very peaceful protest, even though the very not peaceful policemen had already been disrupting it. Because why are you tear gassing peaceful protesters, surely? The third one I went to was also pretty great because I went with someone super special to me. And it's going to be a core memory for me, just like the one with my mom. I don't know, weeping from tear gas while fighting for something we both believed in, you know, with someone that I truly love was absolutely wonderful. This was a particular protest that some of the protesters actually made it into Parliament. So it's also a core memory for me because of that. Unfortunately, so many protesters were shot dead. Such crazy cover-up stories happening from the government side of things. But it was a core memory. There was, man, just so much unity from Kenyans from different economic backgrounds, different tribes. And we were all just looking out for each other in that crowd. It was something. The police obviously had to screw it up, but it was something. The next process I went to was last week. Yeah, when I joined the medical fraternity in Kenya as they were camping outside the Ministry of Health, demanding accountability, better pay, interns to be posted, and so much more. And just personally, even though I'm not a medic, I was just irritated by the millions that had been looted in that ministry. And I was so irritated that the leadership of that ministry at the time hadn't even come down to converse with the doctors. Like, it was just it's so rude, you know what I mean? Quite a few of us non-medics showed up. And again, it was speaking to that camaraderie and just us looking out for each other as Kenyans. And I don't have to be a doctor to understand that what's happening in this ministry is wrong. I don't have to be a doctor to show up. Just that I'm Kenyan, I can empathize with you as doctors and come and stand ground with you. And it was quite powerful. Now, this past Tuesday, I went for another protest in town, and it's the worst protest I have ever been to. The energy from the police was different. Yes, they have been disrupting peaceful protests all month long, but this one felt different. It felt more vicious, like they had orders not to scare us, not to arrest us, but to finish us, to kill us. Like, I'm not even being dramatic. Like, that was the energy. And there were cars that were full of policemen who were shooting live bullets, right? When they were shooting or lodging the tear gas at people, they were aiming to hit you with that tear gas canister. Worse yet, restaurants that were hiding protesters, they were throwing the tear gas into the restaurants. Shout out to Oliveira Restaurant in CBD. They actually hid us. And I remember the guard actually saying, come in, like these, we're not going to let you guys go outside there because these people are going to finish you. Like, you're going to stay inside here. And at one point, before they closed the doors, the cops outside threw the tear gas into, like, they lodged it into the restaurant. It hit a glass barrier inside the restaurant, broke it, and bounced out. And I was just like, what is that? What's happening? What's happening here? What wrong have we done? It's our right to protest. And constitutionally, the police are meant to provide security for protesters. They're not meant to be fighting the protesters. More so when we are absolutely peaceful. We are armed with water bottles, our flag, the Kenyan flag, and whistles. In fact, this last Tuesday, you had to hide your whistles and your flags because that was the marker they were using to fire at you. It was terrible. It was the worst protest I've ever been to. When I got back to my special person's house where I had parked my car, I was so disheartened. Like, I just felt like, what the fuck is going on in this country? That Tuesday was very sad for me in this fight. And I've had to kind of tell myself that in the push for change, there will be those moments. There'll be moments of high energy, high hope, high joy even, high levels of community and togetherness. And then there'll be moments of fear, real fear. There'll be moments where I feel disheartened. This is just part of it. Like, it doesn't mean stop. It doesn't mean you're failing. It doesn't mean the oppressors have it. No, it doesn't mean that. This uncomfortable feeling is also part of the push for change. And so I'm kind of like coming back up for air now. And I'm ready. I know next week we have the journalist protest. I'm going to be there because what the heck is this censorship that's trying to be imposed on us? And I'm still very motivated to fight for my country because I'm so proud of what we've been able to achieve. I'm so proud of the civic education and awareness that's happening. I'm so proud of us for asking the questions that matter. I'm so proud of us for not falling for political gimmicks, matter handshakes, matter dialogue. And I'm so proud of us for showing up for each other. You know, I had a friend get arrested last week and I immediately left my house and drove to the police station. And, you know, they were just trying to intimidate him. And when I got there, so many of us had turned up. Everybody had dropped everything they were doing. And they came through for him. Do you know how wonderful and how powerful that is? And so the fight continues. And who knows, maybe at the next protest, if you're in Kenya, maybe we'll bump into each other. All right, last thing that I do want to leave you with is that our next wellness talk is here with us. It's on the 3rd of August. And it's going to be looking at how mental health affects our physical health. If you listen to our flagship podcast, Legally Clueless, you probably heard an episode where I told you of me going to see this doctor who's a general practitioner, but her practice is rooted in wellness. And I went to her at a point where I wasn't sleeping, my mind was in such a dark space, and a friend of mine referred me to her. And that was where I got a low functioning depression diagnosis, which I thought, oh my God, am I dying? But we managed to figure out how that was affecting my physical health, my gut health, my eczema, my sleep, you know, and my hormones. And so through that, I was able to get out of that space using the knowledge I'd acquired, the medication that I needed to get on, and just a deeper understanding of how your mental health can affect your physical health. Now, on that other podcast, I did share details about Dr. Sally, who's the doctor who's now my GP. Quite a few of you went to see her and had glowing reviews. Well, she's our guest speaker at this wellness talk on the 3rd of August, and she will be walking us through how your mental health affects your physical health. She's also going to be looking at how things like stress manifest physically. And she says this is because most of the patients she's getting are showing severe symptoms caused by stress. She's also going to be walking us through how anxiety and depression can affect our physical health, how burnout manifests and imposter syndrome, and giving us tips about our nutrition and things that we can do to take care of our physical health as we navigate our mental health. 3rd of August, tickets are 1,000 bob. You can grab your tickets on Ticketsasa right now or the link in the show notes. And it's virtual, meaning wherever you are in the world, you can tune in. That's it for this episode of Legally Clueless. You can share this podcast with your friends. You can keep it for yourself. I'm not judging. Just make sure you're here next week for the next episode.